Turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. And verse number 10, that's the New Testament, Matthew, then Mark, and Luke, the third gospel in chapter 2, and verse number 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. Now go to John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Then the next Gospel is John, and chapter 12. I'm reading them in the order that you can follow through. John's Gospel and chapter 12. And verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Verse number 31. Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying by what death he should die. Now the book of Acts, just keep going on over, that's Luke, then John, then we come to the next book, Acts, on chapter 2. Verse number 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden off it. Now, keep moving over, please, to the book of Philippians. Chapter 2. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. And we'll break in, please, at verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now there's one final reading, keep moving over to Hebrews. And chapter 9. Verse number 27. Hebrews 9, verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin or apart from sin, unto salvation. That's why we'll read, and I trust, with the warnings that we have heard very solemnly at the beginning of the meeting. And I hope you've taken the warnings to heart. I could be gone tomorrow. You could be gone tomorrow. And where our soul is will depend on what I want to present tonight at the close of the meeting. It'll not be depend upon how much money you have, not be depend upon your background, your genealogy, or your church affiliations, or anything to do with sacrament or ceremony. It'll all have to do with what you are going to be presented, if God helps me tonight, in the presentation of the Savior. And I want to look at it very simply. We have the announcing of the Savior in Luke chapter 2, the announcing of the Savior. Very clearly, right on the surface of our reading, when the angel said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Announcing of the Savior, the greatest event in the history of humanity, my friend, has been that historical moment when, my friend, from heaven's glory, there come down a person called Jesus, God's Son, and he's pronounced or announced as the Savior. That's what humanity needs. It's not religion. It's not, my friend, who you're associated with in life. What men need, because of their sin and because of eternity, is a Savior. And that Savior, friend, he stands unique and alone. You can't put beside him Hinduism, Buddhism, or Christianity, if you want, around the people called Christian country here, America and Canada. We're not talking about that, friend. What we're trying to tell you from this book, and if this book is true, which we believe is, this is our reliable source of information, and this book tells us so emphatically, so clearly, none could miss it. As sinners on that broad road, God would blaze across our globe, to every corner, the announcing of a Savior coming to our earth. That's what you need, friend. That's what everyone needs. If they're going to be in heaven, if they're going to come to death and know, I'm sure where I'm going after death, you'll need this Savior. God went to tremendous lengths. He spoke in creation, but now he speaks in the person of the Lord Jesus. It's God's final message. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, "In these last days has spoken unto us in his Son." God has only one message for all mankind, no matter what color, class, creed, religion, doesn't matter, friend. God makes a sweeping statement. We're all of one blood. Doesn't matter the color, the class, the culture. My friend, God looks at humanity right across the board. He says, "The fallen, guilty humanity. I want them to hear announced clearly, explicitly, a Savior has been born." And I want to tell you tonight that this is your only meal. And you die in your sins and are lost forever. Please don't do anything. You've heard the name, the most precious, valid, wonderful, unrivaled name. Savior. Only one Savior, friend, not many. One Savior. And that Savior's called the Lord Jesus Christ. He came here. He was born of the Virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And Mary brought him forth, wrapped him in swaddling bands, and laid him in an manger. My friend, the Almighty in human frame. That's what the Bible teaches. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For 20 years in my life, I'm ashamed, but it's true. For 20 years of my life, the Savior was just a blank in my mind. I knew him to be a historical person. After all, we write letters, and we read books, A, B, G, C. Before Christ, after Christ. Where did he get that candor date from? From the event of Christ coming into our world.
So my friend, what we are preaching is not done in a corner. Well, some people say, you know, very few people know that. You know why they don't know it, friend? Because they don't really want to know it. That's what we are speaking. It's factual. It's the Word of God. A Savior has been born. And it's announced. You know, Bobby Neal, a missionary that I know very well from Ireland, he went out to Africa to preach the gospel. And of course, reading David Livingstone and Moffat and all these boys and Stanley, he thought, I'm going into the interior. I'm going to meet people that never heard the name Christ or Jesus or the Bible. And so he was kind of enthused of going in this adventure for Christ to preach the gospel. He landed in Africa, he got the train, and he got to the last station. And from there he was going to go on into the interior to meet some of the other workers. And he was saying to himself, what a dark country. No one knows the gospel and I've been taking it to them and they'll be absolute strangers to it. And he said, I stepped off the train in that little dilapidated looking station with the old trunk of a train going along the tracks. And he said, when I got off, he said, I heard this dear black man was brushing the side of the station, the stone out there, the pathway. And he was singing. And he said, I put down my bags. And he was singing, wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Great the immortal strain. Angels with wonder announced it. And shepherds with wonder receive it. Oh, sinner, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Oh, says he, I'm not coming to people that don't know. I'm coming to people that have already heard the glorious, emancipating, unrivaled, unsullied, holy, precious.
What other words do you use? Wonderful human. There is a name I love to hear. I love the sweetest one.
Sounds like music in my ear.
The sweetest name on earth that tells me of a Savior's love. Who died to set me free, it tells me of the present. The sinner's only place.
A Savior announced. What a marvelous thing. In Vancouver, I know, my friend, with all the night lights and all the big nights of revelry and sin, we took the cap off Vancouver. You would find aching hearts. You would find hearts crying out for help. You would find hearts distraught with a world of economy and a world of social, the whole social fabric, my friend, is being removed. And the whole political arena, my friend, is being in an uproar. And you would lift the lid off every heart in this meeting, out of Christ, without a Savior. If I could lift the pliers off, I would see within your heart all the aching void, the emptiness, the awful reality of what is life worth living for.
We have a message tonight. The notion of
secondly, I want you to notice the approval of the Savior. You know, this person, this Savior that come, the Bible says, Acts chapter 3, that he was approved of God. He's marked out by God. He has come to the test. He has all the abilities. He has all the qualities. He's finished.
Because
he's God's Son. He's flawless. He's sinless. He's sinless. He's untainted. He's untarnished.
Hallelujah. The eye of God looked down in our world amidst the wretch of fallen humanity and all our animosity and hatred against the Christ. God saw one for 33.5 years. He saw beauty and glory and he saw every quality of purity and holiness.
Why, I don't want to dwell there.
I would like to dwell there, but I love that.
Because I'll tell you something. The Savior that I want to present in my next thought is this.
A Savior that is perfectly, intrinsically holy.
He stands in contradistinction to all of them.
man.
All others, from Adam to the end time, are carnally tempted
with sin.
It says even in the Bible, there's not a just man in the world
that you're through.
And midst the wrecks of humanity, and amidst the awful warring factions of time, thank God there was a Savior absolutely approved. He had come to his test. He went about doing good. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. In one word, friend, devil's flesh. That's why we believe in our preaching tonight and our feebleness, the power enough in Jesus' blood to save us from sin. That man went into the interior, one of those countries where the further you went, the darker the folk were as to the true God and as to Christ, to do nothing of the Bible. Naked in their appearance, fears. Headhunters.
The chief hands stained with blood, and in his tent he had rows of skulls hanging up. The missionary went to this place, and he preached the gospel, and the people listened. And he said to them, is there anywhere I can go beyond this? And they said, no. There are places, but don't go. You'll never survive.
The village with it. The village with 1,000 schoolchests. Heading on down. He says, the chief in that village, he wouldn't come out alive.
No one dare to tell it.
He prides himself in the skulls. That missionary, only a missionary can do this. Only a pioneer can do this. Only a man with the passion of Christ in his soul can do it. Don't ask me, I haven't got it. But I'll tell you, he went in and said, that's where I want to go. Those people need to say, don't go, don't go. You'll never survive, you'll never make it. But he went in. Equipped, what with?
For our Christ.
And then he went in, and he went in, until he was there for a few years. People never heard, they thought he's gone, never come out again.
One day he lands in the city. And with him.
And with him the chief. And when they surrounded him and found out they weren't just too sure who this man was that was with him, he was clad in different raiment, usually it's all different flowering dresses and so forth on, the dress of the chief of all the regalia around his neck and one thing another.
Finally, he said, who is this? He said, that's the chief of the church. He said, that, I said, this must be the greatest wonder of the world.
What had happened, friends? The power of Christ was here. That's the Savior that's presented in our gospel, in our Bible, friend. We have no, you know, I would like to preach better, and I would like to preach this and that and the other thing,
but it's broken in that.
No more dynamic, more powerful message than this. The announcing of the Savior, the approval of the Savior, and thirdly, the ability of the Savior. I abide the lifted up from the earth. Would draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifies what death he should die. I'm looking at people in this meeting. I would never have met you. You would never have shaken hands with me and said, good night, brother. You'd never have making, I'd never have shaken hands with you and said, good night, sister. What has happened?
You've been drawn to Christ.
The lifted Savior, in your experience, you look back to the moment of all your sin.
You look to Christ. And I like to look at that blessed man that hung in hell.
I have no strength.
He has all the power.
I'm lost.
He's the only one that can save. That's why he hung on dark Golgotha tree.
Here's what it says. The Lord speaking said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
And you know, when Christ died on that cross, excuse me for just introducing something here, my preacher. I'm just not 100% happy. But I'll allow you to say it, I'm not a
critic.
That if Christ had died and no one was in heaven, God would be glorified. Well, that might be true, sure. Let me tell you, there's more to the death of Christ than just dying. This scripture tells you, and if it died, it brings forth much fruit. And with all of them disappearing, he would have thousands and millions, a number of numbers, a life, and the fruit of his work.
From every kingdom of earth will come and raise their anthems high. Their hearts will never be there unstrung. Will you be there? Will I? If we have trusted in the blood and by that blood brought nigh, then our song shall ever be.
Our word. My friend, tonight in the meeting, the uplifted Savior, I want to speak to you heart to heart, friend. Look, we love you. God loves you more. We present to you in your shame on the road to eternal ruin. If you die without Christ, you will not be eternal. And I say kindly, I would like to say to Peter, it will be eternal for you. Bitter darkness, exactly. Endless woe.
What if I should live without the Savior? When I come to die, how will it be? Oh, to face a valley's gloom without him, and without him all eternity. My friend, tonight there's too many have come to the edge, and then at the edge they're moving out, and they're trying to get a message to you. Can you help me?
Why do you got help and strength, and God has given you a mind of intelligence? While you're in the body and you can think straight. Don't be listening to all the skeptics, agnostics, and infidels of earth. All they'll do is put you in darkness.
You ever talk to an infidel? I did. And sometimes I wonder, did I talk?
Most people are infidels when they're living. When it comes to the cold, clammy hand of death, some of them die torture and death. This is where I better to believe the words that I know.
That's the only answer.
I would like that God would help you to use your intelligence tonight and your thinking tonight. And put within your heart, after all, we are going.
We're not here to stay. We're moving out. We're going to leave this tent behind. It will crumble. Our soul will make its exit. The real person will go out. And where will I really be?
The church.
The only answer? I like what that girl said.
She's a beautiful singer, very attractive there, and she was singing for the hippodrome, we call it. We probably call it the hippodrome. And she had signed a contract for so many years with a beautiful voice and beautiful looking girl. But in the mercy of God and in the kindness of God, he stepped into the arena of her life, and she got away and left.
My, if you're led to Christ in that moment,
I want to tell you, oh, that God would just put it up on your lap and your soul.
I hope it's not a passing fancy, but a reality
that will stick to last.
The girl got saved, and of course you had to sing.
I think,
among all those fanciful people, the crowd, and the applause.
But she didn't feel any heart. She lost heart. I know what that's like. When I just said I lost heart in the old world, I thought to myself, Albert, oh, it's never an empty old place. Got friends, now there are true friends.
Yeah, oh, I want to tell you this, and don't be afraid of us. I'll tell you, the finest people in the world. You might have picked up, but when you just say they'll understand it.
Yeah,
even the worst of us are the finest.
Oh, my friend, listen, I wouldn't change for 1 second. I couldn't anyway.
And, of course, she went to the folk that had hired her and signed the contract with. And she said, look, I don't seem happy. Can I break this contract? No.
Finish the contract.
So she started to read the contract. Always watch the fine print, you know, when you're getting a contract.
It's usually the fine print you want to read. People don't read the fine print. It's the fine print you want to read.
And she read the fine print, and in the fine print it said, you're given the option of choosing
whatever song you like.
Oh, God is with her. She stood up behind with the microphone before in the crowded hippodrome, and she started to sing, take the world but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love.
Oh, the fullness of redemption.
Pledge of endless life above. If I had been not hippodrome,
I would have said it hallelujah.
Oh, friend, what salvation is, it's real.
The ability.
He's calling from every part. Jew and Gentile. All colors.
One of the things I love at a conference in Ireland, it has its ups and downs and has its dangers, but I always like when I walk in through those swinging doors, it's just a sweet, my eyes are on the gathering. People from India. Malaysia. Every single
door. And somewhere else. Oxford. And you get the water, and I see my
mind. Ready?
It's all the ability to take 1,000,000 worlds to heaven. Such was the mighty work of redemption. Last, through, free.
Let me refer quickly to
the announcing of the Savior, the approval of the Savior, Acts 3, the ability of the Savior, John chapter
12. Oh, the work finished that takes the soul to heaven.
The blood is shed. The foundation has been laid. Sinners are told to repent and come to Christ. Take the warning. Where a bell shalt or feel to exercise my friend faith in his grandfather's God.
You know what's going to happen next? I'm not losing it. I pray for all the countries. I pray for the politicians. And I pray for the powers that be. We're living in a real world. And I want to tell you something. Beyond all the minutes of confusion and the rattle of the enemy and the
fear and dread of biological weaponry, and the awful
outbreaks of diseases in every part of all times that are happening even in America.
You know something what I'm doing tonight, and I would love you to stand in for it.
Unto them I look for him shall be true to the Savior of
the earth. The second time you come before
us, to respect you. Go in for it. And may tonight you start for heaven and say, thank God, that Savior is my Savior too. Shall we pray?
Father, we bow in thy presence. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for the attention to thy word. And we bless thee for the twofold message, the stern, solemn warning of a man that missed salvation.
and went out that very night into eternity, unexpected, unaware of the solemnity of it. And so God, our Father, we believe that happens in our world. And here we are in a gospel meeting with a Bible before us. Everything is free, and the offer of salvation is free. Christ has died, and the Savior indeed has put away sin. He's living, and he's coming. And the Bible's so clear, and the signs are so evident. Grant that no boy or girl, man or woman, will make their way to their home tonight without the searching, solemn reality. What if Jesus comes tonight? Lord, could we plead with thee in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou wilt stamp this upon every soul, that there might be a quietness, a solemnity, a reality, as we part one from the other. O God, muzzle the enemy, we pray. Thank thee for what thou hast done in saving us all. Continue thy work, and we'll give thee all the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.